listen, I wanted to embrace Jesus personally. I wanted to know him intimately.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the earlier part of this message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant pointed out how one of the main tools Satan uses to stunt a Christian spiritual growth is complacency, that attitude that good enough is good enough, self-satisfaction with the status quo. But he also pointed out how it is that God has big plans for the life of every believer, but complacency can keep that believer from experiencing God's best. But Pastor Grant shared from the story of the poor lepers outside the walls of Samaria, recounted in 2 Kings 7, how the first step to escaping the grip of complacency is to break free from self-imposed limitations. Now this evening, he will continue to develop from this account how by responding to God's call, the believer can escape the snare of complacency. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, Escaping the Grip of Complacency.
So how do we escape? Based on this passage, what are some of the lessons we're learning? Lesson number one, we must break free of our self-imposed limitations. But secondly, we must discover the thrill that God alone can provide. We must discover the thrill that God alone can provide. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'm continuing by reading verse number 8. And here's what the text says. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the camp, to their surprise, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us all these other armies. Verse number 8. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of this camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there and went and hid it. Can you imagine their thrill? I hope you can imagine the thrill of these lepers. The day before, they didn't have nothing to eat. And a few weeks before that, before this problem started, they were only eating scraps, leftover garbage. And now here they are. The best steaks. Or if you're a vegetarian, the best fruits and vegetables. The best, oh my goodness, the best burgers, the best chicken wings, oh, the best barbecue pork. The best of everything was there. Just imagine the thrill. Oh my goodness, they're eating and drinking. Probably had some good vintage wine. They were drinking their wine. They're putting on the clothes on their broken down bodies. And what a thrill they had. The part that is very amusing to me, they were hiding it, you know. I guess this is where the show hoarders came from. We better hoard this. We better store this stuff. You said, Pastor, where in the world are you trying to tell us? I'm just simply trying to say to you that when we discover what Christ has done for us and provided for us, by the way, all of this stuff was provided by God. If you read the text, it makes it very clear this was an act of God where all these provisions have come about. And I just want you to realize that what God has provided for us, listen, if we really get to understand what God has provided for us, we are going to be so excited. If you inherited a huge estate, come with me now. If you inherited a huge estate with a massive mansion full of stuff, the most amazing works of art, and garages with fleets of the most exotic cars, when you went to visit that mansion, would you go through the door and sit at the door, right by the door, for the whole visit? Would you do that? You better not. Or we'd send you straight to the psychiatric hospital. No. You'd be walking for sure. The guys, the first thing, they'd be rushing outside to the garage and looking at the Lamborghini, the Ferrari, the Maserati. Oh my goodness, the Tesla, the Rolls, all this stuff. But strangely, we become Christians. God has provided a storehouse for us. Many Christians enter and are seated at the door. They have not explored what God has for them. And because they have not explored what God has for them, many Christians are not experiencing the thrill. I hope you're listening to me good this morning. Because as I studied this passage, the part that leaped out at me was the thrill of these men. And I started to realize that God is trying to say something to us, because many Christians are just barely making it. The thrill of what God has provided is missing. You know, in our Tuesday Night Bible Institute, I was teaching on sanctification. That particular, it wasn't that particular subject, but it came up in our discussion, sanctification. And we were talking about the difference between positional and progressive sanctification. And for those of you who might not know this, sanctification, when God sanctifies us, it means that he has made us holy. And there are two aspects to sanctification. There is positional sanctification, and the very minute you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the minute I got saved, I was positionally sanctified. I was positionally made holy, because God now sees me in Christ, and in Christ I am holy. And this is why we were able to say earlier, listen, we're able to do tremendous exploits for God, because God, in through the blood of Jesus, we were all made positionally holy. Amen? But there's an aspect of sanctification which we should never forget. There is a progressive aspect of sanctification. Yes, positionally, the day I got saved, I was sanctified. But the Bible expects us, God expects us to progress. This is why the Bible says, be holy as I am holy. In other words, he's commanding us, listen, positional, you're sanctified, you're holy, but there's an aspect of holiness. We should be growing in holiness. We shouldn't be going backward. We should be progressing. Amen? Little song says, little by little every day, Jesus is changing me. Little by little every single day, I should be progressing. A young somebody in my class, she said, Pastor, I just want you to know, many Christians are not interested in that part. She said to me, and it was very true, she was being right on point. She said, but I never thought of it that way before. She said, we all love the positional part, Pastor, but the truth is, many Christians are not interested in progressing. And she said, because many Christians believe Christianity is boring, and since we believe Christianity is boring, since they believe, not her, but since they believe Christianity is boring, why progress? You see, people got saved to get to heaven. And so once they're saved, they have no desire to progress, because they believe that the real excitement, the fun, is really in the world. So a Christian will try to hold on to Jesus and hold on to the world at the same time, because Christianity is only for my salvation. Christianity is for my later. The world is for my now. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody here this morning in this audience, or who are listening on the internet. And that's your style. Might I suggest to you that if you have that mindset, it's the biggest mistake you could ever make. Because I want you to realize this morning that nothing can compare with the thrill that God can give you. Some of you may be shocked to hear that. And you say, oh, I know he's talking about heaven. No, I ain't talking about heaven. We all know heaven is going to be off the chain, or we ought to know. But I'm talking about right now. right now, there is nothing that can compare with the thrill of knowing Jesus Christ intimately. I want to ask you, my friend, are you experiencing that thrill? Be honest before God this morning. Are you experiencing that thrill? Are you experiencing the thrill that only Jesus Christ alone can provide? You know, in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul shared a little bit of the thrill with us. And the group sang this morning, what he's done for others, he can do for you. And I just want you to, as we look at these a few verses here, we're going to put it on the screen for you. I want you to realize that this thrill that the Apostle Paul is talking about is a thrill that you can have, a thrill that I can have. And let's be honest this morning. Let's stop playing games. We're not going to ask for your testimony. But let's be honest before we even read this. Are you experiencing the thrill? Do you wake up in the morning just excited to know Jesus? Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. You can go home and read from verse 8 to 16 in Philippians chapter 3. But I'm going to read excerpts from it, and I'm going to read from the Message Bible so that even my younger friends can jump on and understand exactly what's being said. We're going to put it up on the screen for you here. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. All the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. He says, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Savior firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Did you hear that? The Apostle Paul says, everything I once thought was a big deal, he says, is now dog's dung. Do you see that? I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. Oh, my brother and sister in Jesus Christ this morning, would to God we would have this type of objective and outlook. The Apostle Paul, I've dumped everything, all the stuff, my friend, all the stuff that you're pursuing, the great, amazing career, all the stuff that you're pursuing. The Apostle Paul says, I've thrown all that in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. He says, I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Jesus Christ personally. Oh, he's not talking about in a salvific way. This goes below, beyond being saved. He's saying, listen, I wanted to embrace Jesus personally. I wanted to know him intimately.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I wanted to experience his resurrection power. I wanted to be a partner in his suffering and go all the way with him. I have that underlined in my notes. Go all the way with him, because that's where we break away from the complacency. He says, I want to go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. My brother and sister, if you want to experience everything God has for you, oh, might God help us that we may keep focused. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. And if you're here this morning and you have anything in mind other than total commitment to God, may God help you to get rid of their blurred vision. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Listen, Paul was really pumped up. I hope you sense his excitement. Do you sense the thrill? Paul was excited. By the way, Paul was no little slouch, you know. Paul was an incredibly brilliant, highly educated, powerful, influential man. Paul threw it all in the garbage. He said, it's all dog's dung compared to knowing Jesus personally, to knowing him intimately. And oh my God, give us that burden this morning. I wrote this in your notes. Christians who decide not to go all the way with God are big losers, for they miss the greatest experience of the Christian life, the thrill of knowing Christ intimately, of embracing him and being embraced by him. Are you experiencing that thrill? You know, someone once wrote, I'd like to buy $3 worth of God. Please, not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. Just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I want excitement, not transformation. I want the warm of the womb, not rebirth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God. Is that all you want? Is that all you want? I pray that this morning the Spirit of God may set our hearts on flame with a passion for God, and that we will not be satisfied with £3 or $3 or €3 worth of God, but we will want to break the grip of complacency so that we will discover the thrill that only God can provide. Listen, if we're going to break this grip of complacency, three lessons from the text. One, we must break free of self-imposed limitations. Secondly, we must make sure that we discover the thrill that only God can provide. And third and finally, we must respond to God's convictions without delay. Let me just hurriedly go through this. Verse number 9, they said to one another, we're not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we may wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, let us go and tell the king's household. They were having such a great time when suddenly God convicted them that he had brought them into this privileged position for a reason. God disturbed their conscience. He had given them good news to share. Good news that could save the whole nation. God has brought you and me into a privileged position for a reason. Do you have any good news to share? Do you have any news that could impact this nation? Christians sit in churches and we huddle and we complain about all the problems happening in the world and how the world is going downhill, and yet we have the good news of the grace of God, of the power of God. We have the message of salvation, and we sit on this message. These men says we don't do well. Now, of all the people, if there was somebody who had a good reason for not wanting to share the message, it's these people. They'd kick them out of the city. They were out here. They were the discards. They're out of the city wall, left to die. But these men, this conviction of God came upon them. We don't do well. In 1949, John Currier was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Years later, he was transferred to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. And then in 1968, his sentence was terminated. And listen, a letter bearing the good news that his sentence was terminated was sent to him. But the person who received it never ever passed on the good news. Life on the farm was so tough. But since John Currier did not know the good news that his sentence was terminated, he kept on doing this hard work. And did you know, this is, by the way, is a true story. 10 years went by before a state parole officer finally discovered what had happened and went and found John Currier and told him the good news that he was a free man. For 10 long years, important good news was withheld from John Currier. Would it matter to you if important news was withheld from you? My friend, if it would matter to you, if you were John Currier and that type of news was withheld from you, do you imagine how disappointed you would feel to know that somebody had that good news and didn't share it with you? What a shame that there are Christians listening to me this morning who have never shared this good news with anyone. Some may have shared it with a few, but my friend, this news, listen, the lepers have an incredible message for us this morning. The lepers are saying, this is a day of good news. God has brought us into this wonderful position and has given us this life-transforming message of the gospel that we can share this good news. And I want to tell you, my friend, the fact that there's coronavirus, it does not let us off the hook. My worry is that because of coronavirus, some Christians are so in a cocoon that they're refusing to use the opportunity to carry out our mission and our mandate to spread this good news to the ends of the world. Oh no, my challenge this morning and my hope and my prayer is that as like these lepers, we might make a new commitment to Jesus Christ. If we're believers in Jesus, that we may make a new commitment. God, I'm available to you. And God, I want you to use me to spread and to share this good news. And I'm going to do it urgently. The guy says, we better do it today. My friends, stop waiting. We've been waiting long enough. And now is the time to let everybody know that we got a message that the vilest of sinner who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon can receive. Oh my God, help us this morning to escape the grip of complacency. Listen, how, number one, we must break free of our self-imposed limitation. But secondly, God wants us to make sure we discover the thrill. And third, God wants us to make sure we share this good news. We respond to God's convictions and share this good news. My friend, you're listening to me this morning, and I just want you to know that what we said is true about you too. You perhaps have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never opened your heart to Him. I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you. It wasn't just for us, it was for you as well. And if you would put your faith and your trust in Him today, He will save you, and He will save you right now.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.